It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Chicago sports fan, call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
All right, guys, do you fear the Cubs have a bullpen problem? After falling to the Astros, failing with Astros scraps with Hector Neris last year, is the same thing happening with Ryan Pressly, who wasn't used yesterday after surrendering 3 earned runs in 3 relief innings while walking 4?
They definitely have a bullpen problem. They're running into the same, you know, we talked about the series in Japan and how painful it was, because it was like a continuation of last year without the clutch hitting. Well, that series against Arizona was a continuation of bullpen problems. How many guys are you going to walk in the bullpen?
Too many.
I mean, holy God.
That's the answer.
Awful.
Too many.
Too many is right. You know, Ryan Pressly does not look good. Now, it's really early, and you don't overreact to anything. But holy cow. I mean, how many saves? No,
I'm
saying generally.
Yeah, I know.
I'm talking myself out of it. How many saves they blew last year?
26.
26. Yeah. That's the year. So you see the bullpen, life has twofold problem. First problem, pitcher's length. They don't go as long as they used to. It's a different deal. As a result, you got to have a bullpen. You got to have a group of guys. You never know on a year-to-year basis how the bullpen's going to be. They've swapped out a lot of guys, and maybe they seem worse if that's humanly possible. But they do not. They definitely, the takeaway from the second series of the season, and they've yet to win one, is that they got a bullpen issue.
They absolutely have a bullpen problem, and it's kind of dejecting because this series, how many exciting things did you see from Matt Shaw's first major mm-hmm. league home run to Kyle Tucker looking like an absolute superstar?
How about that?
And Pete Crow Armstrong continues to get better and better and better and just is electric on the baseball field. And I saw yesterday that his bat speed is up this year. He's hitting the ball very hard. And
did you see that stat from Lance Brozdowski?
I did see that.
We should get into that later.
4 miles per hour from last year.
Fascinating research.
From like 74 miles or 70 to 74 miles per hour, something like that. You're seeing very exciting things. And yesterday, that was a game that we talked about. They need to win more comfortably.
Yes.
They have a 4-run lead in the eighth inning. And snap of a finger, it's gone. And then the night before, they have a 4-1 lead going into the ninth inning. And
you're chewing on your fingernails.
Yeah, and but for Dansby Swanson, they lose that game too. Yeah. So all
heads he play.
Yeah, and all heads of these things, like, oh, they need more star power. Well, Kyle Tucker's in the lineup now. PCA is developing. Matt Shaw hits his first home run. And yet, we're still talking about how bad the bullpen is.
I felt it Saturday night watching Ryan Pressly struggle. Oof. Had some major Craig Kimbrel vibes and memories.
Because still available?
Similarly, Craig Kimbrel came to the Cubs after accomplishing a lot in his baseball career. And he came to the Cubs higher on reputation than results, as it turned out. And trying to squeeze out whatever was last of his career. And when Ryan Pressly struggled again, I'm sorry, that was my reaction and thought. Why was he available? He was available for a reason. The Astros tend to know what they're talking about. I know that there was a setup factor for Josh Hader. It didn't work out last season, whatever the case is. But I'm starting to wonder, why was he available? So that was Saturday night. Sunday didn't make me feel any better. Eli Morgan, where did they get him? Did you save the receipt? Can you take him back? I don't know what you can do here. That was bad. So as bad as he was, then I started wondering, why is he still in the game? Oh, okay, Craig Counsell. He's still in the game because Julian Merriweather wasn't available. Well, why wasn't Julian Merriweather available? Oh, he warmed up? He warmed up too often?
Yeah, I caught that too.
So wait, whose decision was it to warm him up and not use him? And if he's going to warm up and you can't use him, why is he warming up so often? Didn't make any sense. Doesn't fit together. And it feels very much like 2024.
That's another really good question.
All right, guys, what is your take on the White Sox opening series? Should they have done better? Or are you okay with a 1-2 start? Is it better than you imagine or right about what you thought?
Well, I had higher hopes after seeing how clean Thursday's game was. And feeling like they were off to a very sound, fundamental start going into Sunday. And then Sunday's first inning reminded you that this team isn't quite there yet. You know, a couple defensive miscues led to a run that they didn't ever overcome.
Yep.
And that's the margin of errors that is so thin. You need more offense. You want more of this or that. The one thing about the White Sox that was encouraging, I think two things for me. Yes, they're 1-2. We have to remind ourselves the record isn't as important as some of the other factors. They have solid starting pitching. Their starting pitchers have yet to give up an earned run this season. And they also just look more like a baseball team. It's hard to quantify and describe, but maybe we're seeing what we want to see. But it seems like the White Sox under Will Venable know what they're doing, and they look like a baseball team, and it always is nice to see Luis Robert Jr. look a little bit more engaged than he did at times last year.
Yeah, I think that the starting pitching is the biggest takeaway, that they have a lot of intriguing. Stop me if you've heard this before. They have some good pitchers, the starting pitchers and pitching prospects, and guys that you feel like, okay, well, will they be able to build around them, or is this going to be another cycle where they're going to be selling these guys off for more prospects? When does this cycle end? But I think that the last two games of the series reminded me, at least, that it's still not a very good offensive team.
Right.
And they're going to be in a lot of these games, and it's going to come down to, like you said, David, the margin of error, like it did last year, where they were on the wrong side of a lot of 1 or 2 run games. And I think that this year is going to be more of the same.
I agree with you. I think they're going to lose a lot of 1-run games. You know, the minute I saw Teal was hitting, I'm like, bring that guy up. They don't have offense. They need people to hit. 1 run, losing a game without scoring a run, a team beats you 1-0, that's really awful. That means your offense is just god awful. And then that game, you know, I agree with you. They shouldn't have given up that run, but it's 2-2 when you resume, and you got as good a chance. Oh, no, you don't. You lost. So I think it's what I expected. I think the first win was really well received, but I this is a bad team that they played too, and they lost a couple one run games. If they could win one game a series, I think it'd be satisfying. It'd be a lot better than a year ago. But you'd like to see them. You win the opening game of a series. Get the series.
One game per series. So it's basically one out of everything. You want them to play 333 baseball.
That's kind of... I don't want them to. I'm saying...
That'd be 54 victories.
That's more than I picked.
Okay. That's right at the number.
See what I'm saying?
I can see. So you're not exactly distraught over the weekend.
Oh, no. I think the manager kind of knows what he's doing a little bit. Like, I one of my takeaways from watching them go 1-3 to open the season is, how god awful was Pedro?
Trying to forget that.
I know.
And I remember the question was,
what do you think of the Final Four, and who's the favorite in your mind? Do you think the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee feels vindicated by all the number one seeds being in the Final Four and the chalky brackets?
I suppose they got it right. They probably feel really good about that. All four. I don't know how I feel about it, frankly. It's kind of, I'd like to see more of an upset here and there. I wish Michigan had won, because I got three of the Final Four, but that's, I have one five seed, or were they a five seed or six? Yeah. I've lost the plot. So I wish the Big Ten was represented, but I think Duke is the best team in the country. I think we learned that. We knew that coming in. They got probably four pros on that team, including the number one overall pick. And they looked good. They had one kind of test, kind of. Did they win that game by 20? They won the first two by 20. They just took over that game. And it's a good team they beat, and they beat the hell out of Alabama. So I feel like they're the best team left. I think Florida, I think Auburn is a really good team, and I can't understand now why I got off them toward the end of the year. I believe it had a lot to do with the fact that they were losing games. I think they lost two games at the end of the year and then lost in the tournament, and I think I was kind of thinking they might be a little flat. They've been very good. But Florida... I think I want Florida Duke, not just because that's what I picked before it started, but I think they might be the two best teams. They might be.
Yeah, I'd say Duke is the favorite at this point, yep. Although Houston's a tough test because of the offense, the way they played offense this year. They've shot the three well in the NCAA tournament, and it's not just a Kelvin Sampson defensive-minded team, but I...
But they are that.
They are that. Yeah. They are that. But are they going to be able to win a track meet against Duke if that's the pace that it's at? I don't think so. Florida-Auburn's intriguing. Florida has been – I was talking to Tyler before this. He's a Florida fan. They've been tested to this point in the NCAA tournament. So is that because they have not been playing their best basketball, or is that going to be a good thing when they play a team for the third time this season? But I think as far as the selection committee goes, they did get it right. But this is, we're going to have to readjust how we think about the NCAA tournament. This was a tournament around upsets early on and seeing name brands in the Elite Eight at times. Now that's, we're not even going to see the upsets in the first and second rounds. We're not going to see mid-majors getting to the Elite Eight or the Final Four very much anymore because of how the talent is going to be concentrated at the top with the teams with money. So I think based on the ratings, it tells us that the marketplace enjoys that. And whether I feel I'm with you, Molly, I think it's a little too chalky for my liking, but it is what it is.
When did Tyler become a Florida fan? Thursday or Friday?
Oh, wow.
True story. I grew up a big Tim Tebow fan as a kid.
Okay.
So not a bandwagoner.
I could
not
respect that. That's good. You're ready for that answer, weren't you? Yeah.
100%.
All you got to do is just get down on one knee. And give it
that. Well, I can be disappointed with having four number one seeds if I choose to. It's sports. You don't have to all think alike. I know a lot of people will argue the ratings are high, the competition is the best, and these are the four most deserving qualified teams. And you would be exactly right. But something's missing this year for me. I'm just speaking from my own individual viewing experience. There's something missing from this tournament. Maybe it's a lack of close games. It doesn't seem like there are many.
Could be Tim Brando.
It could, no, it's not. It's not that. It's not that, and I risk, I know.
You want me to get him on?
Alienating guys who believe what I'm saying is just a product of being in a flyover state that doesn't pay attention to college sports.
You're blue, let's face it.
Well, let's face
it.
You're
in a blue state.
And I think that may have something to do with it. I don't know.
Wow.
But it does feel like there's something from this tournament that is lacking from the others that preceded it. And there isn't an upstart mid-major. Okay, I know why. Everybody who pays attention to college sports, and we do, knows what's going on here. The mid-majors are developing talent for the big guys. And even the big guys can't retain and keep their own talent. Did you see the Big East Player of the Year has entered the transfer portal after getting benched by Rick Pitino the final 8 minutes for St. John's? So it's not just what's going on in mid-majors. It's going on everywhere. You've got to keep your own talent. You know, Kentucky made a nice run against Tennessee with all new players from a year ago. They were in Lexington for 365 days, practically. So I look at this tournament, and I think the Final Four is the best four teams. Duke is probably the favorite. I hope it's Duke and Florida. And I hope that there's some drama and some close games, and they're not like 15-point leads you're trying to whittle into double digits so you can have a nice finish so you can justify watching the last 2 hours.
There's going to be a lot of questions on the draft process.
Yeah, speaking of that, Ryan Poles, Penn State tight end Tyler Warren didn't work out at Penn State's Pro Day last Friday, but the Bears are one of three teams reportedly with whom he will meet. What do you think of the Bears taking Warren if he's there at 10? How is it similar or different than taking a running back at that spot?
Well, I think Tyler Warren, I still don't know why he didn't work out. I wonder if there's something there. I don't believe it's an Abdul Carter situation where he didn't work out either, but because he was saying his shoulder was still iffy, but it might be because of his foot. The Abdul Carter situation bears watching as much as anything out of Penn State. If he's there at 10, I think the Bears will be tempted. It's a different argument to me than the Ashton Jeanty argument, because I think you could probably trade down at that point if he's there at 10 and not feel like you have to take him. Everybody will point to Brock Bowers and the impact he made as a rookie. I don't see that in Tyler Warren. I see he would fit well alongside Cole Kmet, but I think it would be a duplicate part. And that would be a luxury you can't afford at number 10. Ashton Jeanty, that's a different conversation, and I think he would add more value to your offense than maybe Tyler Warren would. That said, if Ben Johnson feels fixated on getting the second tight end so he can run all those two tight end sets that he likes to do, I'd listen. I'd listen to that explanation, and I'd be very curious. But no, I would not think that the Bears would be, despite being one of three teams that they're going to meet with, he's going to meet with. I don't know that would be, for me, plan A or B.
Yeah, I'm with you, David. I don't know if he gets there, 210. I think that there's a chance that someone snags him a little bit earlier than that. But I keep coming back to offensive line. It's been a theme of this offseason, and I know some people are like, oh, it's fixed now. Now go draft Ashton Jeanty or Tyler Warren. I think that those two would be similar in your thinking. You do need a running back. You need a lead back if you are the Bears. DeAndre Swift is. We've got to adjust our thinking and realize that he's not a lead back, a guy that's going to get 15, 20 carries, a guy that you trust running between the tackles. And Cole Kmet is a fine tight end, but like you said, having another one would be, especially a pass catching tight end like Tyler Warren, who has the ability to be a solid inline blocker. It's a nice luxury to have, but. If Kelvin Banks out of Texas or Will Campbell out of LSU, or even if they feel like Josh Simmons from Ohio State is feeling well and his medicals check out, how many more left tackle prospects are you going to pass on like you did last year? It was a tough decision. They took Roma Dunze over Olu Fashanu, who had an outstanding rookie year.
Yep.
Are you going to do it again? And say, all right, well, we have a chance to upgrade at left tackle, and we're not going to do it.
Yeah, I think it's well said. I want them to stick on the line of scrimmage. I think that the 10th pick has to be one of two positions. It has to be a tackle, a left tackle, hopefully, or a pass rusher. I think those are your two options. Maybe the pass rusher could be an interior guy, but there aren't enough of those to go around. I got to tell you, there are running backs, pretty deep class, and there are tight ends. Didn't Warren run like a 4.68 at the combine? He's not a sprinter. He's a guy that gallops past
big people. Body too.
Big body, great catcher of the ball, great body control guy, but not like he's not like a speedster. He's more of a tight end that can do a lot of things that are very important. I think you could take him at 10, just like Ashton Jeanty could be taken at 10. They could be gone by 10, both guys. So I'm kind of with what Alex is saying here, which is, you know, when are you going to do it? If you're not going to build an offensive line, the idea is to build enough of an offensive line that when different players retire, you are still there. You don't want changeover every year. You want to invest in guys, put them in there, and see how long they can last. So I'd stick with that.
I don't know if that answered the question.
With 8 games left, the 33-41 Bulls are tied with the Heat for the final play-in tournament spot, but with still within reach, 2.5 games of the 7th seed. What do you think of the Bulls are hoping for, and what do you expect them to land? Where do you expect them to land?
I think they're hoping to make the playoffs. I think they're going to make the play-in. I would imagine that they're going to win some games down the stretch here, but they're not going to get to 500. They have very little possibility of doing that. I believe they play a really good team tonight. And that's the best team maybe in basketball. And I have low expectations for them tonight. But I think they can. Their schedule says they can win some games, and that they're going to be. I have felt it inevitable that they would wind up as a play-in team, and I still feel that way.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Yeah, I have them finishing 8th. I think they lose Oklahoma City tonight.
Yeah.
I think they lose in Cleveland, but the rest of the schedule, they are playing terrible teams.
Yeah.
Toronto, Portland, Charlotte, Miami, Washington, and then, of course, the Philadelphia 76ers, who haven't been trying to win for months at this point, or weeks and months at this point. So I think they will finish eighth and be in the play-in tournament spot and finish a couple spots higher than they have in the last couple years. And that's where they will wrap it up.
If they get into the playoffs, it's an invitation to get swept.
Yes, yeah, it is, definitely. Sweep. But you would benefit, I still believe, from that experience. Your young guys, as Billy has talked
about, told us that.
You would definitely gain something from the struggle, if you will. And they would struggle against either first-round opponent. I believe if you are eighth, you get a home playoff game. And if you're seventh, you might get two. Or that is the difference between 7, 8, 9, and 10. You want to be 8th then. You want to get a home play-in game. You want to get in the position where you can get to the next round. I don't know that it seems like a foregone conclusion if they're 9th or 10th, if they're going to get into a playoff series. If you're in 7th or 8th spot, you could justify the hope and maybe the interest and all of the investment that you'll have. They're fun to watch lately. They're fun to watch Saturday night, even in defeat. You know, this is a team that plays with pace, and Matas having the kind of night that he had Saturday night reminded you of just how far he's come since the beginning of the season. You know, this is a rookie that we're watching develop in real time, and we're seeing the coach hold him accountable for things, which is really refreshing to see. So I think that they are probably going to finish. I think, Alex, that's they have 8 games left. I think maybe 6-2 does it. And they end up probably in the 8th spot, but at least they have been relevant. I mean, relatively speaking, everything is relative, but relevant lately, and that's been an improvement.
These are concerns and questions that people are asking.
That's the voice of Kyle Davidson. What did you think of the Blackhawks playing 6 first-round draft picks, all selected by that voice you just heard, Kyle Davidson, in a loss Sunday to Utah? Was the outcome relevant at all, and is this going too young?
Well, it's unprecedented, I believe, to have 6 first-round draft picks in a lineup, all chosen by the general manager who still has the job. A lot of times you might see guys who were there from a previous regime. This is really going young. This is like the Blackhawks prospects camp takes the ice against the Utah Hockey Club. And I think, though, it's exciting. Sam Rinzell is an aggressive defenseman. You just, wow. And he's an offensive-minded defenseman. Oliver Moore can fly on the ice.
Yep.
That kid is really fast. Frankie Nazar is really fast. Connor Bedard is who he is. And then you've got other guys, Vlasic and Young, Korchinski, and then Artie the Party, Levshinov. I think they're going to get tired of that nickname.
Artie gives away the puck too much.
He's a little bit careless right now, but they are talented. They are young. I like this about them. They want to build together. And Ozzie is kidded about the White Sox. When they're all ready from Birmingham or Charlotte, put them in a bus and bring them to Chicago together.
Here's the team.
Wait until they are all ready, then you bring them and they arrive together. The Blackhawks pretty much did that. It's like you got a coach bus from Rockford coming in, pulling up at 1901 West Madison, and there they are. They're going to struggle, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, this is always an interesting time of year with players signing their entry contracts, a lot of first-round picks, and you'll see sometimes contending teams playing a guy straight that was in college a couple of weeks ago. But for the Blackhawks, it is an interesting time, and you see the talent that they have drafted. You see the system is strong, and you see that there could be some guys like you mentioned, Oliver Moore and Frankie Nazar, who are potential line mates of Connor Bedard down the line. But it also reminds you that these guys are still very raw and still a long way from being contenders in the NHL, just them. Kyle Davidson is going to have to figure out who are going to be the best role players to put around Connor Bedard in the meantime to win in the next couple years, or we're going to continue to see them be drafting in the lottery year after year. The goal right now is how can they get out of this cycle of drafting high in the first round?
It's interesting because, you know, the Frozen Four is going on. Big win for Penn State. First time ever to the Frozen Four yesterday. But, like, Minnesota gets eliminated and the two boys come and sign with the Blackhawks. Now they're playing with the Hawks. It's, like, pretty unbelievable how quickly the ascension is. And it's, you know, they want to get their guys. It's the end of the year. The season's over. Hey, here's some fun. Let's get a little electricity going. And that's great until you start giving up the goals, right? They played the Utah hockey team. They lost to the Utah hockey team. And that's the kind of embittering part of it is, you know, they hold them scoreless for a period, and then they all of a sudden they get back in the game and the game's tied, and then they get slaughtered. And that's a bad loss, yet another one, because they got all these inexperienced young guys. And it's good and it's hopeful for the future, but I don't think they all belong playing right now on the Blackhawks, other than it's the end of the season.
They're taking a look.
That's all they're
doing. NHL has that weird sort of timetable and rule that you can bring these guys up after the college season ends. Nazar did it
a year ago.
He made a really good impression.
Yeah.
Gave them kind of a taste of it, which is...
But wasn't that crazy? They sign on Saturday and they're playing yesterday?
Yeah. There are no minor league...
Yeah.
Kind of apprenticeship phrase of those guys.
It'll come.
And they didn't look shy.
No.
That's the one thing. Moore can fly, and he looks the part. And when you have a guy as active as Renzel was, he's...
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah. It's fun to see these guys and imagine what they could be together. But it just is going to require some patience. A lot of it.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.